conference. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose here on Journey to Success is to interview people that are making a difference in the world, and with that, we'll explore many different aspects and areas in life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many other topics. Our broadcast team here at Journey to Success Radio consists of Michael Collins, Taylor Tagg, Tom Too Tall Cunningham, Ray Stendell, Tracy Montgomery, and myself. My name is Dave Yablecki. And our broadcast team here at Journey to Success share a common trait in that we all follow Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles to Success. And information about our team can be found on our website, which is www.healthyinbodyandmind.com. And today I'm excited and honored to once again feature Kimberly Switzgable and John Scheifel, the owner and vice president, respectively, of Capriol Productions Incorporated. Good morning, Kimberly and John, and welcome back to Journey to Success.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the show again. And, John, in our last interview, we briefly touched on the tragic plight of the street kids in Brazil, and I'd really like to dive into that in greater detail today. So what's the full story behind that, John? Like, how big of a problem is it, really?
Okay, my answer really, Dave, begins in 2003 through today, or through the current. In a nutshell, it's a story of both the United States and Brazilian politics. The political agenda is to render all countrywide favela areas safe for the papal visit of 2013, the World Cup Championship soccer match of 2014, and most importantly, the Summer Olympic Games of 2016. This is why trillions of dollars of taxpayer monies are spent to totally eliminate the favela areas and maximize the safety of the people visiting globally. Now, this is referred to as the Favela Pacification Project, or the FPP, and its enforcement arm is known as the UPP. The problem lies basically with how it is currently being conducted and enforced by the UPP, which is now no longer federal and professional military, but has been relegated to each area's local jurisdictions. Now, a study in Berkeley, California, concluded or called it the cycle of impunity means not only neglect or omission, but a rather profitable corruption scheme within public security and law enforcement agencies. Therein lies the problem. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's a broken down system.
Yeah, well, you would think with it being up to the local administration in each area that there'd be no consistency, like each area would kind of do their own thing.
That's true. There are numerous examples that I've discovered, that Hope Unlimited for Children has discovered, HopeInternational.org has discovered, etc., that say what you have just said is correct. There is no consistency. Everybody goes by their own rules.
Yeah, that sounds...
Can I just say something? You got to understand that Brazil was under a dictatorship until the late 80s, mm-hmm. and the discrepancy between rich and poor in Brazil is so phenomenally great that part of the problem is that there are people that have absolutely nothing, and they have serious problems with drugs and muggings and everything else, because you have more people that are poor than have anything in their pockets. And because Brazil is a Catholic country, they do not believe in birth control.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, millions of kids on the streets because they keep, you know, a lot of it's because of ignorance that they keep popping out these children. So you have all of these kids on the streets that you can't, you know, that it's gone too far in the other direction.
Right. Now, I would think that, you know, Brazil being one of the largest Roman Catholic nations in the entire world, that the church would have some sort of social program or safety net in place to help these kids.
Well, the question you on the table really is, Brazil being one of the largest Catholic nations in the entire world, so doesn't the church have anything in place to help these kids? My simple answer is, well, because of the Catholic influence. NGOs, or non-governmental organizations, like Hope Unlimited for Children, are exceedingly Christian-oriented. But any child who is saved and chooses to become a member of this extended family has a choice to believe as they choose. It's also the largest Japanese population outside of the country of Japan, which is kind of an interesting side note.
Hmm. So you're saying the Catholic Church, they do in some respects have safe havens, they have orphanages and stuff for kids in Brazil, but they don't, you know, they really don't have the ability to handle and follow through with these kids like Hope Unlimited does. Because a lot of organizations, they'll get the kids off the streets and get them to a point where they can go out and get a job, but they don't follow through after that. Where Hope Unlimited follows through years down the road, they make sure that their families are okay and they can come back to where and make sure that these kids are fine. They don't
right.
drop the ball.
To give you an example, we were speaking with Corrine Smith, Philip Smith's, the founder and CEO of Hope Unlimited for Children, his wife, recently. And she said originally, and it's in one of our film clips, originally they have this grand scheme of Mother Teresa type stuff. Then they realize there has to be legitimate and long-term follow-through. What happens when somebody gets out of college, gets engaged? What happens when they have kids, the seven-year itch? Where do they go? Who do they see? Whose house do they come to? And then they decided they come to us. We're the parents for life.
Right. Now, doesn't the current Brazilian government have any sort of child welfare program or safety net in place? Like here in North America, you know, we have child and family services. Do they not have something similar down there?
No. That's the short answer. And I say no because it's not in the sense of the United States and our Amber Alert systems,
mm-hmm.
cannabis, and the multiplicity, the variety of child welfare agencies throughout all 50 states and Puerto Rico. The closest safety nets are provided by one, maybe two, at the very most three non-governmental organizations or NGOs, but most notably and most successfully, Hope Unlimited for Children, whose website is www.hopeunlimited.org.
Wow, that's really sad. I had no idea that there was such a huge problem and that there's no government social program or safety net in place, that it has to come through the NGOs.
Well, it's not all bad. I mean, you know, for example, the governor of the province where Campinas is located has granted monies. The IMF has granted monies to Hope Unlimited for children,
mm-hmm.
etc. So there is some support, and there are prominent business people who also render financial support, but by and large, people don't.
Right.
And a lot of Americans don't either, because, you know, we tend to be somewhat inwardly focused.
That's true. Well, it's good that there is some assistance, but like you touched on, John, there's a lot more needed that needs to be done. And with that in mind, it's come to my attention that your company, Capriol Productions, with their documentary City of Hope, a children's story, the title song City of Hope by the British singer-songwriter Dar Raw has been getting a lot of radio airplay in the U.S. Which radio stations are currently playing this song?
Well, a week or so ago, I was in the car going someplace, and I was listening to Philadelphia's 102.9 WMGK classic rock station.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm tooling along, right? And I was shocked and pleased to note a newer, more wicked, and that's Dar's phrase, playing of the song City of Hope, our original musical score for the upcoming feature-length documentary. Now, this powerful FM station spans an area including Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, and parts of New York State. Now, I hope others, both in Canada and the United States, are playing it as well. I don't know. Our newest team member, Debbie Gallo, a TV reporter who is reported for CNN Sports, ABC, and other networks, is now pursuing connectivity throughout the satellite radio networks around the country.
Wow, that's amazing. It's really nice that you're getting all this media exposure, you know, the radio stations and with the Debbie Gallo and everybody.
She's a perfect choice. And like everything else, we were fortunate to gain her trust, compassion, and willingness to come together with us. You know, same thing with Dar Ross, same thing with Alanis Grippa, same thing with a bunch of our people.
John, you just a few minutes ago mentioned that Dar Ross has a second revised edition of this song. Tell me more about that.
Well, the version, which I call V.1, version 1, that you hear on our 30-minute short, has been revised to version 2, which I believe is the one I heard on last week on the Philly rock station. And speaking with Dar recently, he mentioned to me this. He said, hold on. I've got a third revision coming out, and this one is wicked, end quote. So I'm pretty excited about that. Very excited, as a matter of fact.
And when does Dar anticipate that the third edition will be available for airplay?
Well, on Facebook, he just tossed up another album / EP that kind of incorporates City Hope and all that other stuff, but he's doing additional songs, and probably I'm not privy to his entire plan, but I know it's good. I know you're working directly with him. I am supremely confident that it'll work, that all of this stuff will come together.
Yes, I have no doubt that it will. And Kimberly, in the few minutes that we have left, do you have anything that you'd like to add or expand upon?
Just the fact that this is a very important project that we're working on, and we really need, you know, people to follow us and, you know, show their support. And, you know, get interested, whether it's in our project or any other project that's helping children out,
mm-hmm.
because they really are the future of this world and this country and every other country. We really need, you know, we need people to step out of their own comfort zone. And whether it's donating money to help make the film or going down to Hope to volunteer to help these children, they can teach kids how to read, they can volunteer any way that they feel that they have the talent to do so. And, you know, once we're down there shooting, I would... my idea is to also help these kids that are interested in possibly making movies or documentaries to get them to come out and be part of the filmmaking project with us.
Brazilian kids.
The Brazilian kids that are down there that may show interest in filmmaking. Because that's one of the few things that they don't teach at Hope is about filmmaking. They can become carpenters, electricians, chefs, artists. There's probably 25 different trades that they can be certified in that the Brazilian government gives Hope to train them in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are a lot of very artistic kids, and maybe a child there, a couple children there, may be more interested in making films and telling their stories and helping other children tell their stories. So...
Well, just a final. One of my real dreams personally is this. The first generation of kids, we're talking circa 1990, 1991, 1992-ish, that were pulled off the street, that are, some of them are now back in Rio or Campinas or wherever, or Sao Paulo, whatever favela, and they've constructed and started and begun their own schools. Well, if that song of Dar's, City of Hope, if there's any payoff, any contribution whatsoever, even the tap of a like button on our website, www.caprioproductions.org, whatever, my goal is to provide them with funding to further bolster their efforts.
Well, that's amazing, yeah. And it's all about awareness, you know, highlighting the problem, and then once people are aware of it, then you will have people step forward to help in so many different ways.
That's all we ask, is for people to come forward and help and get out of their own, you know, if you help somebody, one or two people, then somebody will turn around and help you if you need the help.
Exactly. It's all about karma.
Well, about being good to your fellow human being, you know, your fellow man, and, you know, helping take care of other people, because those people, if you're in need, will come back and help you. Not necessarily them, but somebody they know will pay it forward back to you.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. Well, John and Kimberly, our time is almost up for today. So I just want to thank you both again very much for appearing on our show. And when we speak again next week, I'd like to dive deeper into what and how your company, Caprio Productions Incorporated, is doing to change things around for these poor, suffering, victimized children.
Sure. Send us the agenda. We'll take a look at it. You and I can flip-flop back and forth and...
We'll go from there.
Go from there and do.
And
we
do appreciate
before.
All of the time that you're spending with us, so that your listeners can hear what we're doing.
Dave, you're exceedingly professional. I got to say that, and I mean to the nth degree, you're exemplary in every respect.
Well, thank you very much.
Everybody you mentioned.
Well, thank you, Mitch, for those kind words, John, and you guys are to be complimented for the documentary you're doing to help raise awareness, because that's the only way that help people are going to step forward is if they're made aware of it. And I commend you both for doing what you've done thus far and will continue to do in the near future.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
So you both take care and God bless, and I'll look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Okay, great. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
All right, have a wonderful day.
You too.
As well.
Bye for now.
Bye.